But I want you to look at Micah chapter 7 and look in verse 18. The Bible says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea." Boy, ain't that a wonderful thought there. "Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, ask you to help us. Lord, we thank you again for another good day and another good opportunity now to come and just preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and your word tonight. Now, God, I pray that you might help us. Don't let us stand in our own strength and not in our own power, but let us stand in that with some touch and that from heaven tonight and help the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now, for I realize I can do nothing on my own. And God, if it's going to get done tonight, you're going to have to do it. But I'm going to try and do my part. And God, we just love you and we thank you tonight. Save that sinner that's nearest hell this evening. And Lord, we thank you for saving us for all these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You be seated tonight. If I had one thought that I might want to preach on tonight, it's what the Bible said there in the latter part of chapter or verse 18, that he retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Now that's in reference to the Lord. He asked the question, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Do you know there's no other God like the one that we serve? Amen. There's no other God like the one that's seated on the throne in heaven with his Son, the one that loved us and died for us on his right hand. There's none other like him. Listen tonight, friend. I'm glad that he delights in mercy. Now, God believes in justice. You know that is an attribute of God tonight, that he believes in justice. How do you know that? If you read back through the book of Micah, you'll find out in the book of Micah that it deals in that with judgment and the wrath of God in chapter 1. It deals, and he tells them that they ought to be mourning over there and that because of the shape that they're in. Bring God's judgment. I believe there in verse 2, we find in the book of Micah that not only do we find that Christ is mentioned and how that God is going to restore the nation of Israel, but listen, ain't you glad tonight that it tells us right here that he don't retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. You know, that means that he is excited and that excites him. I'm trying to think that word delight. It lights him up when he thinks about it. You know that God would rather have mercy on a lost sinner as to have judgment. Do you know that? You know, we get in our mind that God wants to pour out his wrath and that God wants to have judgment and God wants to destroy this world. Hey friend, the Bible said that all would come to repentance and know him. I wanted to use that word wish in there, but I know that ain't right. But the Bible said that the will of God, there it is, not the wish of God, but the will of God is that all should come to repentance. Listen, tonight, he wants everybody to be saved. If you're not saved tonight, would be a good night for you to get saved. Now, that word mercy, and most of you know what I'm going to say about what it means. Mercy is simply meaning this, is we did not get what we deserved. That's mercy tonight. Now, mercy and grace are first cousins. Listen, mercy means we did not get what we deserve. This is God's mercy, and that holding back his judgment and his wrath that we deserved. And then he held his hand out and gave us grace and gave us something that we didn't deserve, which was his salvation and his goodness toward us. Listen, God's justice. Now, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Listen, God is just tonight. The Bible said in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 that the Lord, the just Lord, is in the midst thereof. You know, that's a good way to describe the Lord. He's just. Everything that he does, he's just in it tonight. Can I tell you tonight, if God went ahead and come back, he's a just God. Now I'm glad that he's having mercy tonight and he's allowing folk to get saved. Amen. I believe if I read my Bible, some people say, well, when the last person gets saved and the church is made up, he'll come back. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? If I read my Bible right, and listen, I don't know if this is what he'll do. I don't know. But listen, when it was Noah's day, I believe Noah and Miss Noah and them three boys and them three ladies got on that ark and that door stood open for 7 days. God was still having mercy in Noah's day for him to get on that ark. Noah had done got on the ark. God said, come into the ark. God was already on the boat, wasn't he? Amen. He didn't say, go get on the boat. He said, come into the boat. That meant come into the ark. That means God was already on the boat, if you'd let me say that tonight. But the Lord is just and the Lord is righteous and the Lord is holy. And so when we compare ourselves against, you know, it says, who is a God like unto thee? When we compare ourselves against a just and a holy and a righteous God, he said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, the only way that we can be holy is in him tonight. Amen. And that's the only way we can get there. And so when we compare ourselves against a just and a holy God, we find out that we're not much. Amen. As a matter of fact, we're nothing. You're nothing. Now, if you think your works are going to get you into heaven, you're sadly mistaken tonight. If you think that you can just be a good boy or a good girl or a good young lady, a good young man or a good man or a good woman, it don't work that way. Hey, Isaiah 64 and 6 said all our righteousness, not our unrighteousness. It says all our righteousness. Everything that is good about us, everything that can be attributed good, he said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So everything that's good about us, everything that is good in our flesh is bad and stinks in the nostrils of God. Ain't that something tonight? You say, listen, then what can I do about myself? You know, that's the thing where somebody's got to get to tonight, amen, is to realize that him or her can't fix theirself. Ain't that right? I mean, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, who can say that I have made my heart clean, that I am pure from my sin? Ain't nobody can do that. You can't do it. I can't do it. There ain't a man of good works. There's no religion that can save you and get you to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my most favorite verses, Nick says, you quote it every time you stand up to preach. It's a good verse. Matthew chapter 11. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I like that verse. Because you know what folk need tonight? Rest. They're just wiring themselves out trying to work their way to heaven. They're just wiring themselves out trying to get there, but they need the mercy of God. Let's look at the mercy of God tonight. Let's look at just a few things and then we'll go home, okay? I want you to know you can experience the mercy of God in your life tonight if you don't know it. Let me say that if you're unsaved, you are experiencing the mercy of God right now. It's by the mercy of God that he's let you draw another breath. It's by the mercy of God that he's allowed you to be here tonight. And you can come and get saved. Amen. Not because it's a Baptist church, but because it's a Bible way. Amen. Let me say that first of all about God's mercy. The Bible said here that he delighteth in mercy. Can I say that God's mercy is a boundless mercy? What do you mean? Hey, listen, there is no stopping God's mercy. It's boundless. I mean, the Bible said in Psalms 108, it said, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Psalms 119 and 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's enough mercy out there to save the whole world tonight if folk would come in. You remember, hey, listen, a lot of times we don't think about experiencing God's mercy when we got saved. Listen, not when we first got saved. I just realized it was lost. We needed to get saved. But boy, when you look back over that thing and you see what God's done for you, you see that it was truly the mercy of God. It was the hand of God that, listen, that led you to a place where you could get saved and led you to a place where God could deal with your tender heart and bring you to repentance. Boy, I'm telling you, He's got so much mercy. If you go over to the book of Lamentations chapter 3 and you know anything about the book of Lamentations, who wrote the book of Lamentations? Well, Jeremiah did, didn't he? You know that the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, if I ain't mistaken, was sitting under siege at that time. They had no food. If you go back and you look at different times, you'll find out that they were under siege. They were fixing to go off into captivity. They didn't have anything to eat. I believe at one point they were, I forget what the donkey's head was charging out at. It was a high price. After all these things was coming against the nation of Israel, and they were starving to death, and here's what Jeremiah said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Man, he said it could be a lot worse than what it is. It was bad there. But he said, had God not had mercy on us, we'd all be dead out here today. Boy, I tell you, had it not been for God's mercy, He'd never found you today. Listen, I'm glad He found me where I was at. I was sitting on the back row of a Baptist church. He's found profane sinners, perverted sinners, Bible-denying sinners, just plain old lost sinners. He's just found them all and had mercy on them. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And maybe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where I need to be. Boy, I hope it's chapter 6. Huh? I got my mind on chapter 6. Here we go. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look what he said in verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now what's the Apostle Paul said? And such were some of you. He told the church at Corinth, he said, some of you all fit into what I just said right here. Some of you were extortioners. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were thieves. He said some of you were sodomites. He said some of you were effeminate. He said, but look, he said, when you got saved, he said, when you got saved, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, do you know why God done that? You know why God washed them and made them clean? You know why God washed you? Why God washed me tonight? You know why He done that? Because He had mercy on us. He had mercy on us. Now listen, it's not only a boundless mercy that'll reach to anybody. God does not turn anybody away that'll come to Him and want to be saved. But listen, He shows them that saving mercy. His mercy is so big that it'll encompass the whole world. And then He looks at them and says, I'll save you if you'll just ask me. If you'll believe that Jesus loved you and died for you and asked me to save you, I'll do that. Now, if that ain't mercy, I don't know what He is. What did He say? He said what? He said, who is a God like unto thee? He is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And He would be just, righteous, and holy if He never saved anybody. God would have been the same. Amen. But we would have never been the same. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is, about His mercy and about His love. Now remember, we didn't get what we deserve. A lot of us like to think, preacher, I want what's coming to me. No, you don't either. Amen. Hellfire and judgment's what's coming. You don't want that. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it said in verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy. Remember I told you it was a boundless mercy, didn't I? But watch what he says. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. You're saved. Boy, you find just in them two verses, you find the love of God, you find the mercy of God, you find the grace of God. I mean, it's all in there, and that's how He'll save us tonight. Listen, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Do you realize that Christ Jesus came and died for us? Right? Amen. Well, I'm glad He paid the sin debt for us. But for us to get saved, it is still by the mercy of God. He sends out His sweet Holy Spirit to come and knock on your door and knock on my heart's door and say, why don't you come and get saved tonight? Why don't you move and come and get saved and just let the Lord come in? It's by His mercy. I'm telling you tonight, there's none of us good enough to be saved. I think we get in our mind that, that God saved us because there was something good about us. No, God saved us because there wasn't anything good about us. Amen. Amen. Hey, the Bible said not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Thank God for that tonight. I can't do enough righteous work to get saved. Listen, if you're unsaved, you are experiencing God's mercy right now. Can I tell you that if you are saved, you're still experiencing God's mercy? I mean, listen, how many times have we fouled up? How many times? And God would have been, He'd have been just if He'd went ahead and wiped us on out. But by His mercy, He didn't do that. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad God has had mercy. And with it comes, I got to thinking about this afternoon. It just for a minute or two, it comes with compassion, don't it? I mean, the Bible said in Psalms 86, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Luke chapter 10. Go to the book of Luke chapter 10. If you know your Bible, you know what we're about to read over here. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read the story of the Good Samaritan, ain't we? Luke chapter 10. Now mercy and compassion kind of about runs together. I want you to look in verse 33. Luke chapter, well, let me back up and just catch it in verse 30. Well, let's go back to verse 29. Well, I hate to say it, but let's back up to verse 27. Amen. I feel like that fella that told his preacher, read this verse here, preacher. And so he read it, and he said, well, back up and read that one before it. And so he read it, and he said, well, preacher, back up and read that verse before it. And so he read it, and finally the preacher stopped, and he said, I have found out what your problem is. He said, you've been reading this book backwards all your life. Amen. I don't want to be reading it backwards. Look in verse 27, if you would. And he answered and said, now, he said, a lawyer come to him, if you would, said, and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so here he's answering the Lord, because the Lord asked him in verse 26, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou answerest right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. Boy, it sounds like us. We're all the time wanting to justify something, ain't we? He willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Do you notice that the two that was before him saw him too? Verse 31 said that the priest saw him walk by on the other side. The Levite, who was the one that worked in the tabernacle and worked in the temple, the one who was the preacher boys, if you'd let me say that, looked on him in verse 32 and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Hey, listen, that is one of the greatest stories, one of the greatest parables in the Bible that we find on mercy and compassion. Those priests and those Levites had no mercy at all. They went over, they looked at him, no doubt they said he got what he deserved. No doubt they said, well, I don't know how he got there, but I ain't going to help him because he's in the ditch. I'm telling you right now, some of us ought to be having, and not some of us, all of us ought to be having compassion on these lost people out here because Jesus is coming. I mean, you better have mercy on them and tell them what they can do to get saved and what it means to be saved and how to get saved. Better have mercy on them. But listen, that good Samaritan had mercy on him. He saw him how he was, and he says, I can help him. I can do something about this. I believe that's what God does. I believe he looks at us and he sees our sorry condition and our low down condition, and he says, I can do something about that. I believe he looked down from heaven and he said, I can do something about that. And that's why he sent his son. Boy, if there's ever been anybody that had mercy on us, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank God for that. The man who went to Calvary to die for us. Me and my wife was talking about that song at Calvary. We actually have it. It's sitting on a little sofa table behind our couch there. And we were talking about that song just the other day. Michelle, if you ever read that song and look at it, because we were talking about songs and all their verses, a lot of them tell a story. You know, a lot of them tell a story. And that first verse talks about being lost. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. But then the next verse says, by God's word at last my sin I learned. Boy, ain't you glad the preacher preached? By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Then the third verse says, now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king, now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Then verse 4. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to... You know what they're doing right there? They're praising the Lord. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Sing with me. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Have you, there's no better place of mercy
than at Calvary. He's the one that loved us and died for us tonight. Hey, while you still have a chance and that to have mercy in your life tonight, I want you to listen to me. You can come and get saved. Boy, I'm telling you, if Jesus ever knocks on your heart, I want you to move tonight. But listen, listen tonight. Every one of us deserved hell, but we got mercy tonight if you moved and got saved when you did. But let me say this tonight. I really feel, listen, that you need to understand that there comes a place and a time when there is no mercy. I want you to look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 with me tonight just for a minute. Then we'll look in Luke chapter 16. But in Hebrews chapter 10, now you're living in the greatest time that there ever was. But what do you mean, preacher? You've got mercy on your life right now if you've never been saved. But in Hebrews chapter 10, look in verse 28. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died, what's your Bible say, without mercy. Ain't that what it says? Died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You know what that means? You know what that means tonight? That means if the law said you're guilty of it, you're guilty of it. And if two or three people said you done it, you done it. I mean, just like Naboth got killed over there. Jezebel had him killed. She had him killed. And that under the law, why? Two or three witnesses said that he come and done what he done. They killed him for it. But they asked the question right here, if you would, said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment? Here we go. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying if you're rejecting and that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said if you're trodden underfoot that blood that was shed for you, he said in your turning away, the sweet Holy Spirit and that of God that's knocking on your heart's door, he said of how much sore punishment do you reckon that's going to be? Hebrews 10 and verse 31, just next, he said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Look in Luke chapter 16. Look in Luke 16. This passage of Scripture still bothers me to a point. Luke 16. Now I know I'm not going there, but it still bothers me something. Listen, because I know there's folk going there tonight. Listen, I know, thank God, I've been saved out of hell, but this place still disturbs me. I think it don't disturb you tonight. That's what's happened to us. Hell just don't disturb us no more. But I want you to look in Luke 16, look in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. That was paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now watch this, verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And here's what he said. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, what? Have mercy on me. The very first thing that he wanted was mercy. But mercy was too late. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou tormented. And I know, I'll tell you again, I understand the doctrinal issue here in verse 26, but I'll tell you this, once you go, you ain't coming out. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.
And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." So that's what it takes, repentance, ain't it? And he said unto them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead." It's a place. Hell is a place of no mercy. I truly believe hell's real tonight. Amen. I believe hell is a burning place. I believe hell's a place where a man, woman, boy's girl's soul that is unsaved, when they die, it goes there, friend, for eternity. And the only reprieve that they get is to be brought up in Revelation chapter 20, and that to be judged before a just and almighty God who has no mercy at this time, to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. Hell's real. I'll never forget the first time that I ever heard that old saying that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Never forget that. Dear old sister we used to go to church with years ago, she would testify, Miss Stella. She didn't want to be with the Lord now. But she had testified, I can remember, I can hear. Boy, we ought to be telling people that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Boy, I can hear her testifying that day. It's a place of no mercy. A place of no compassion. A place of no help. A place of no hope. Whew. Boy, you ain't got to go there tonight. Boy, I tell you, you ought to want to repent to get away from this place. Boy, it said as he cried out, I can imagine he's had everything good in his whole life that he could have ever wanted. But boy, when he drew his last breath, he drew his last breath and his eyes was fixed, friend, and I'm telling you, his heart quit beating. The very next breath he drew was in hell. Well, I'm telling you, we ain't going to go there tonight if you're saved. But if you're unsaved, you're going to die and go to hell. And you need to realize that there's a day of mercy, and it's right now. Boy, I'm glad I had a day of mercy, ain't you? Boy, I'd preach for a while, won't it? You ought to want to repent because of God's mercy tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, the Bible said in the book of Joel chapter 2, rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and it repenteth him of the evil. He's gracious and merciful tonight. God will save you. God will save you. I'm glad I've experienced mercy in my life. How about you tonight? How about you as I close tonight? Let's get some verse of invitation. I want to ask you to bow your heads tonight. Are you showing mercy? Are you showing mercy tonight? Are you showing mercy?